So we're beginning the seminar, which will continue throughout the next day and a half, 2 days, Saturday, Sunday, and half of Monday, on the Shikshastakam prayers. And today we'll try to cover as much material as we can in the short period we have on verse number 1 and verse number 2. So let's all chant the verse together. Cheto dharpanam harjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam shreyakhaiva vichandrika vitaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandam bhudivardhanam patipadham purnam rita swadhanam Sarvatma snaparam param vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam. One more time. Cheto dharpanam harjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam shreya kaiva vichandrika vitadarnam vidya vidhu jivanam anandam bhudivardhanam Patipadham Purnam Rita Swadhanam Sarvatma Snaparam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, has made many comments on the prayers by Lord Chaitanya. And of course, one of the things he's mentioned is that the Shikshastakam prayers were the only written words by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although he spent many, many years, at least we can say from the time he took sannyas to the time he left was 24 years. And during that time, he performed the Sankirtan movement and spread the Yuga Dharma throughout the land of India. And in the last 6 years of his stay with us on this planet, he went into a deeper type of meditation, being in the mood of Srimati Radharani, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nohionya. That Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but his mood is Radharani. His internal bhav, or his expression of devotion, is Radharani's love for him. So in that last 6 years, he went deep into that mood of love and did very little, what we say, external activities. And during that time was when these prayers were written. And that's called, in fact, it's the last chapter in Chaitanya Charitamrita Anchalila, where Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami very carefully goes through each verse with great explanations and understandings. But the Acharyas have given us so much commentary on these verses. And also, part of their commentary is the essential nature of these verses in our life. These are foundational for the practice of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada sang these prayers as a bhajan many, many times in his time with us, exhibiting the mood of deep, deep devotion and expressing these loving sentiments that are Lord Chaitanya's mood of love for Krishna and the mood of Radharani. But Prabhupada said a most amazing thing. He said all the writings, he didn't say some, he said all the writings of the Goswamis, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, are based on these eight verses. So we know Jiva Goswami, 400,000 verses, many, many great scriptures, the Sandarbhas, which are the king of all scriptures on bhakti, Sanatan Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami's Nectar of Devotion, Ujjwala Nilamani, many, many scriptures. Hundreds of scriptures were written based on these eight prayers. How powerful these prayers are. And they're spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These prayers are so deep and so scientifically composed and so much full of the mellows of bhakti that it'll take lifetimes to try to figure them out or just to learn the essence of some of these prayers. Of course, we don't have lifetimes right now. We only have this one. But we can make this one an endeavor to go deeper into these prayers. These prayers are so much connected with the holy name of the Lord that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says something really, really interesting. He says, each of the prayers, which are eight prayers, are synonymous with the holy name. He says, the first prayer is Hare Krishna. The second prayer is Hare Krishna. The third prayer is Krishna Krishna. The fourth prayer is Hare Hare. Continue on. So each of these prayers are synonymous with the couplets of the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. How deep these prayers are. And the whole science from the beginning of the time when a practitioner will make his entrance into the process of bhakti until one reaches perfection, pure love of God, the entire philosophy is in these eight prayers. It's like unraveling something that never unravels. You go, the more you go deeper, the more you find so much. But in essence, we understand that there's nine stages of bhakti. Adaustrada, Sarusanga, Bhajana Kriya, Anartinivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Ashakti, Bhava, and Prema. These nine stages are entwined in the philosophy of these eight prayers. And the Acharyas have given us different correlations with these different stages with each of the prayers. And the first prayer is faith. In fact, some Acharyas say the entire nine stages is in the first prayer. And others say, yes, but it's also in all the prayers. So, and we'll go through it a little bit to give you a little more clear understanding. So, Lord Chaitanya, and I should also mention some other preliminary things. The science of bhakti, as described by Srila Rupa Goswami, is three categories. It's sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, prema bhakti. And each of those categories have categories within them. Sadhana bhakti is divided into two sections, vaidhi bhakti, rules and regulations, and spontaneous devotional service. Bhava bhakti is the blossoming of one's emotional love for Krishna in the mood of deep, deep prayers and expressions of love. It's not the flower, it's the buds. As a flower grows, and the first sign of the flower's existence is the beautiful buds. And also, there is some elements of that flower in the buds. So, bhava bhakti is the emotional expression that is in the hearts of each and every living entity for Krishna. Deep. And the prema bhakti is the final conclusion. Now, bhava bhakti has six stages. Prema bhakti has eight stages. So the science of bhakti is not so much in the beginning, but it's very, very deep in the higher stages of bhakti. When one starts to taste and experience love of God, and then that goes unlimitedly deep into the moods of expressions and Krishna's relationship with the devotee, how Krishna relates. In these eight prayers, all that is explained. In these eight prayers, there is Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana, which is, all the Acharyas will conclude that the essence of the Vedas is made up of these three topics: meeting Krishna, serving Krishna, and getting the goal of that service, which is to love Krishna, ultimately. So All these prayers, they're divided. The first five are in sadhana bhakti. The sixth is bhava bhakti and a touch of prema bhakti. And seven and eight are prema bhakti exclusively. Now, the whole process, all these eight prayers, is abhideya. And the last prayers are prayojana, and the beginning prayers are sambandha, like that. So this is Mahaprabhu. I mean, who could else do that? When people say, well, he's not God, he's an incarnation, very powerful person. As soon as you begin to start to study this, you'll realize no mortal could put this together. It's not possible. It's so complete, so deep, and so full of Shastra. And it's his expression of his love for himself in the mood of Radharani. That's the most amazing thing about it. It's an ecstasy that he's exhibiting in the form of these eight prayers. I'll go through the first prayer so we can get a little idea of what this is like. Cheto darpanam marjanam. Listen to the... There's seven benedictions of chanting in the holy names of the Lord that are mentioned. And each one is somewhat... Okay, it's nicely listed here. Cheto darpanam marjanam bhava maha dirvakni nirvapanam Shreya kaiva vichendrika vitara nam Vidya varhu jiva nam Anandam buddhi varda nam Pratipardam purnam rita swarda nam Sarvatma snapa nam Param sivaj vijayate shi krishna sankirtanam. Now who could do that? Each of the suffix ends with the word nam, which is the name, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So deep. Just to give you a little literary embellishment of this prayer, it's so beautifully composed. You can sing it, you can dance to it, you can write it on your wall. It's a picture and it's also an expression of pure bhakti. So what is Lord Chaitanya trying to do in the first play? He's trying to establish our faith in chanting. So this particular verse is about faith. And how do you develop faith when you tell somebody something? That doesn't really, it may give them some interest in something. But how does their faith in what you say actually develop? That faith comes when you explain what you're saying as the benefit of that activity. It begins in that way. So cheto darpana marjana means to cleanse the mirror of the mind. The mind is considered to be like a mirror. It reflects inside what's outside. Reflects outside what's inside. No two people see the same environment in the same way. We see things similar, but according to our collective consciousness, and as expressed, according to the consciousness, I'm saying all our desires, our emotions, our experiences from past lives, as we live day to day, we perceive the environment or other people or different things in a different way. Each person has a certain reflective consciousness which is intuitive to their condition in the material world, like that. Sometimes you say something, can't you see what I see? No, I don't see it. Well, try. Because it's just the way life is. But there is a subjective reality. That reality which is completely pure and different from everyone's perception of reality. And Krishna explains, what is that perception? He says, when you've thus learned the truth, you will see that all living beings are in me, they're mine. You'll see me in everything, you'll see everything in me. You won't see anything. You'll see the forms of this world, but you'll see me in the forms, and you'll see the living entities also within those forms they inhabit like that. The forms, they fade into the background. Although they're visible, we see Krishna everywhere and everything in Krishna. That is actual vision. So if we haven't reached that stage yet, we have to work a little bit. That's the consciousness of, that is pure consciousness. So in the meantime, the mind, which is part of the subtle body, reflects the reality that we see according to our consciousness inside. Prabhupada tells a little, cute little story on how this is. He says that there's an old man, he's sitting in his living room, and he's hard of hearing. He can't hear. His wife's in the kitchen, and she's cooking supper for him. He's sitting there waiting patiently for his supper, but then his patience changes. He calls to his wife, "Come on, hurry up, I'm hungry. Bring the food." She calls back, "Be quiet, read the newspaper, don't bother me." Something like that, you know, usual domestic talks, you know, whatever goes on. And then after some time, he calls again. And again, she responds in a similar way. And this time he says, "What's wrong with my wife? I'm calling her and she can't hear me." He's deaf. And he can't hear her calling back. But because he thinks she can't hear, he's saying she's deaf. The mind. You get a little idea how the mind works. It reflects what's inside, outside. We, atmanam, what is that? Atmanam manyate jagat. Everyone sees others or things according to their own understanding. So that is a collective consciousness that has manifested life after life after life after life. So the first benediction is cheto, which means mind, darpanam, which means mirror, and marginum means to cleanse. So the chanting of the holy name cleanses the mirror of the mind. When you look at a mirror that's full of dirt, you can't perceive the object that you're that's being looked at because of the dirt. But as the mirror cleanses, the reflective power returns, and it's what you see inside is also outside, or outside is what is inside, like that. So that's when the mind becomes pure. And the mind is actually pure. It's called clear consciousness. As soon as we hit the material world, that consciousness becomes contaminated by material touch. The modes of material nature touches that pure consciousness, and then we start to identify with the body and the realities around us. So the chanting of the holy name is the Lord. And this is put first. Cleanses the mirror of the mind. It wipes away all the dirt and dust, and one can see oneself and one can see Krishna also within that, what we say, pure consciousness. That's the power of Krishna's holy name. It's not simply a means for connecting with a Krishna, it's a means for actually awakening our pure spiritual existence like that. Getting rid of the, what we say, and Prabhupada would say, mountains of dirt. Think about Krishna consciousness. And if you haven't experienced this yet, then you should think about this. The more you make advancement, the more you realize how not advanced you are. If you think you're advanced, that's a problem. I mean, some of us might actually fall into that category by definition. But a devotee realizes the more we make advancement, the more I can see, we go be able to see our own material contaminations and attachments. Sometimes we get a little scared too, right? But one should not be overly overwhelmed with that. One should think, I have the process. The holy name, there's Krishna, and there's Krishna's name. Now, who's more merciful? No, they're the same. So if you ask, you know, like, if two things are the same, how can you make a distinction? But they are also, they're same, and at the same time, they're different. So what is it about Krishna's name that is not completely, not completely, but what is the special feature of Krishna's name? Any guesses? It's more merciful. Krishna says, you want my mercy? Chant my name. You're asking me for mercy? Here's the way to get it. So the name is more merciful than Krishna. And that is his mercy. He puts his mercy in the name like that. So the name establishes our faith in the process of bhakti like that. The second one is Bhava Maha Devagni. Devagni means a forest fire, a blazing forest fire. Birth, death, disease, old age, the miseries of the mind, the miseries coming from other living beings, the miseries coming from higher powers, miseries. Prabhupada used to say, if anybody thinks this material world is a nice place, he should know he's crazy. Why? Because no one can stay here. There's a sign on the door of the material world. Everyone who enters here doesn't come out alive. So that's the nature of this world. It's just full of miseries. It's considered, Krishna says it in the Bhagavad Gita, Dukalayam Asasratam. Okay, we haven't got it, so he says it again. Anityam Asubham. He says it twice. This place is temporary and miserable. We can't fulfill our desires. We're always overwhelmed by the material energy and things around us. And ultimately, whatever we achieve, we lose. Haribo, nice place. So the idea is this material, and the material energy won't leave you alone. It is constantly scorching the living entity with various types of suffering. So a blazing fire is like something that is very dangerous. Mahadavagni. This is, Prabhupada compares it to a forest fire. When you have a forest fire, how do you put out a forest fire? You can't call your fire brigades and all your trucks. They can't do anything. In America, many times, especially in the west coast of America, forest fires are quite frequent there. And sometimes the forest fires will blaze for months. They can't put it out. Like it'll destroy hundreds and hundreds of miles of forest. They can't put it out. The only thing you can put out a fire is if you have a torrential downpour of rain. And then it can be put out. So this material world is compared to that. And what is that downpour of rain? The holy name. It's considered to be the means for putting out the fire of material existence. And Prabhupada said, if you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're engaged in the devotional service, you're free from the miseries of this material world. We may get a little token here and there just to remind us not to go back. But ultimately, when a devotee is chanting Hare Krishna and is fixed in that chanting, then this material energy cannot touch them. It gives complete protection, and it gives complete, what we say, freedom from any influence of the material energy. That's the power of Krishna's holy name. So that's the second benediction. The third is Sreya Kaiva Vichendri Vitaranam. This is so nice. Kairava is a lotus flower, but it's a special kind of lotus flower. all lotus flowers bloom under the rays of the sun. But this flower blooms only under the moon rays. It's a special flower. It's very rare. Chandrika is like the moon. Shreya means auspicious. So, now the acharyas give two different explanations of this line. One is that everyone has good fortune somewhere. It's hidden somewhere in our existence. Now, the holy name is that good fortune. And when the holy name comes onto the lotus flower of the heart, the flower is closed because the moon is not out. But the full moon is considered like cooling rays onto the lotus flower of the heart, which dissipates the burning, and opens the flower's petals. And that flower, that petal, is our love for Krishna. It's a beautiful expression. We might use that example that when you offer a flower to Krishna, you're actually offering something very wonderful. When our heart is full of sweet love for Krishna, and it's like a beautiful, fragrant flower, but it's closed, or maybe not completely. And when the holy name comes, it opens up the flower of our heart, and we can offer that love to Krishna. So this is the power of Krishna's holy name. Vidya Vidhu Jivana. I'm going a little fast because I know we might want to take time for questions. Vidhu means bride. Vidya means knowledge. And Jivana means life. This is a nice analogy the acharyas give. The life of a bride is her husband. Vidya is considered to be husband, Vadhu is considered to be the bride or the internal energy of the Lord. So when the holy name comes upon the living entity, it awakens that spiritual energy and gives life to that spiritual energy which is hidden in our hearts. And therefore, just like a bride is enthusiastic in the presence of the husband, the spiritual energy becomes enlivened in the presence of Krishna's holy name. Beautiful analogy, huh? These are the acharyas. This is Srila Bhakti. I think this is Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Both Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati both comment on this verse in detail. So, the life of a bride is her husband. The life of our bhakti is Krishna's holy name. It gives life to transcendental knowledge. Vidya means transcendental knowledge. Just like when we perform activities, we don't just sit and have philosophy, right? If we, many spiritual movements, they sit and for hours they talk, and most people fall asleep, right? When Prabhupada would go to these assemblies of these various spiritualists, they would speak for hours, and sometimes they could be speaking in Hindi or the local language like that, and Prabhupada would be just there sitting, chanting, waiting. And then one time, after many hours of speeches, it was his turn to speak. He turned to the devotees and said, "Just have kirtan." And everyone got up, and the whole audience just went up, and everybody was dancing, and all the other sadhus left because they don't like kirtan. They think it's sentimental, many of them. But the audience was inspired. Thousands of people got up and danced, and Prabhupada just had kirtan. That was his speech. So we don't do just philosophy. It's important, necessary. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nande Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Gurnitai Ki Jai. In fact, the life of our process is chanting Hare Krishna. Just like this weekend is very interesting because the devotees here, the youth here, are doing 50 hours of kirtan, which started yesterday. They did their first 12 hours. Today there will be 13 hours of kirtan. Tomorrow, 13 hours of kirtan. And Monday, 12 more hours for a total of 50 hours of kirtan. And that, when kirtan is there, as we were hearing some of the talks yesterday that centered around, the material world is gone. It's gone. So transcendental knowledge, we don't just speak philosophy, we chant the holy names. And all our functions, it's about the holy name. We can have philosophy and a holy name, and we do that, both, and it's both are needed. But if you have to choose one of the other, take the holy name. Because people go away with an experience. Okay, Anandam Buddhivardhanam. This is deep. Ananda is bliss. Buddhi means deep. Vardhanam means like an ocean. There's an unlimited ocean of transcendental happiness that comes by chanting the holy name. The Acharyas give a very interesting point. The jiva, us, we are known as infinitesimal. That means we are finite aspects of Krishna. We have his qualities, or some of them, not all of them. We have 50 of his qualities in minute quantity. But Krishna is the reservoir of all the qualities and all characteristics. So we have those same, at least 50 of them, in a, what we say, a limited. But that limited is quite, not unlimited, but it's really up there. You might use a simple word. But one thing you have that is unlimited, and that is your happiness. There's no level of happiness that you can reach and say, the happiness a jiva can experience in contact with the holy name is unlimited as the ocean. When you chant Hare Krishna in the beginning, you feel peaceful. That's the first sign. Peace comes into our life. We feel somewhat satisfied. After sometimes, there's a type of happiness that comes through that. And then that happiness comes into joy. Joy turns into bliss. Bliss turns into ecstasy turns into bliss. Bliss turns into madness. And you become unfit to live in this world anymore. That's the holy name. It takes you to the point where you become a madman and everyone thinks you're... put them away. This is the holy name. In fact, one can chant the holy name and experience so much happiness that you'll die from the happiness. We don't recommend you leave, but this is the power of Krishna's name. It can cause you to leave your body in happiness. And the Acharyas give a little example of how something is unlimited on the spiritual platform. And it's between Radha and Krishna. Krishna's there, and Radharani's there. And Krishna looks at Radharani and sees how beautiful she is. And by seeing that, he becomes happy. And then Radharani looks and sees Krishna has become more happy, and therefore she becomes more beautiful, and therefore she becomes more happy. And then Krishna looks at Radharani and sees that she's become more beautiful, therefore he becomes more happy, and then he becomes more beautiful. And Radharani turns back to look at Krishna, and she sees, oh, he's become even more beautiful, and she becomes more happy, and then she becomes more beautiful. Because happiness is a form of beauty. I don't want to sound weird, but, you know, people who are not so attractive, when they're happy, they're attractive. When you're happy, I mean truly happy, expressing, all the apparent physical features, you know, take a background in that happiness, because happiness is a form of beauty. So on a spiritual level, there's no limit to the happiness that one can experience in the chanting of the holy name. It's like a great, great ocean. Patipadam purnam rita swardhanam. This is interesting. It says that at every stage of the practice of Krishna consciousness, two things are happening. One, chanting the holy names. And in chanting the holy names, you're developing your spiritual body. In other words, you're becoming more and more aware of your internal mood. These are the higher mellows. As we explain, this, the whole process is in this one verse. So these higher ones, these last ones, are the higher mellows of bhakti. So patipadam means at every stage, one is experiencing transcendental knowledge, happiness, and awareness of one's internal relationship with Krishna in Vrindavan. And the acharyas explain that anyone who has come into our ISKCON society is more or less inclined to the mood of Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is attracting a certain class of people who have that inclination towards the mood of Vrindavan. Although we worship Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, and we also honor very much Lord Nrisimha, but they're all in the mood of Vaikuntha. We worship them. But Prabhupada's process and Lord Chaitanya is in Vrindavan Dham. So one who comes into this movement has the opportunity to reach that mood of Sri Vrindavan Dham, which is the highest mellow of transcendental loving exchange between Krishna and his devotees. Like that. So this Pratipradam Purnamrita Swadhanam, at every step, it's more and more closer to that realization, and at the same time, more and more realization of the glories of the Holy Name. And the last one, Sarvatma Snapanam. Sarva means all. Snapanam means bath. It's a complete bath. Your home, your possessions, everything in related to you becomes purified through the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. In other words, not only you, but everything in relationship to you gets that same, what we say, element of purification. In other words, now it's not a matter of material consciousness and material things, it's spiritual consciousness with spiritual activities and spiritual paraphernalia. And then Vijayate, Sri Krishna sang, Param Vijayate. Param means victory. All glories, all victories. All glories, Sri Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. It's like a victory call. It's an announcement. It's the declaration. Lord Chaitanya is just not saying something. He's declaring it. He's making it an orchestration. And it's this last line. So sometimes when we also, when we do the translation, we say all glories to the holy name of Krishna, which cleanses the heart. But then when you read the Sanskrit, it's the other way. When we do the translation, the last line becomes the first line. And then the actual verse, that's the last line. So the declaration comes at the end and at the beginning in the two different ways like that. So this is the first verse. There's so much we could say more about each of these particular ones. I just gave a quick overview of that. Now, in order to take shelter of Krishna's name, we have to follow the process of bhakti. Bhakti is a process, and the holy name is the principle that makes the process powerful. But Prabhupada said, if you're chanting the holy names of the Lord, and you're not following the process as given by the acharyas, he says you're cooking with smoke. So try, ladies, you know that? Try cooking with smoke. Put a little smoke underneath your pan. Where's the dinner? It'll be here in 300 years. That's what Prabhupada said. If you're cooking with smoke, it'll take 300 years. So the holy name is the process, but it inspires us to take shelter of the process. And it's not separate. It's separate, but not separate. As we chant the holy names of the Lord, we develop faith in the principles that come by way of the benefits of the holy name, and then the process becomes what we say natural. or easy. What is that process? To follow the acharyas in how to approach Krishna's name and execute devotional service. Okay, so this is the first verse. I could say a few more things on this. Lord Chaitanya, and I'll just mention this, is a beautiful verse in the first Adi Lila, chapter 4, verse 40. Lord Chaitanya has taken this Sankirtan movement and he's made a garland out of the holy name. And he's strung this garland in a very beautiful way, and he's taking the garland and he's putting it on the whole world. He's garlanding the whole world with what? Radha Bhakti. Radharani's love for Krishna in the form of the Sankirtan movement. Therefore, it is explained that the chanting of the holy names of the Lord in Kirtan and Krishna dancing with his gopis in Vrindavan is non-different. It's non-different. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna, and all his associates are also manjaris or gopis coming to assist him from the spiritual world. There's no difference between Sankirtan. Now, Sankirtan, I'll give you another little interesting. The word Sankirtan, sometimes we understand San means what? Together, and what's the other one?
Complete.
This is the word. This is the particular definition that's not so much known. San means complete. And what does that mean? There is no more complete way to worship the Lord in this age than to perform Sankirtan or Kirtan. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Pradikshitya, just surrender to me, give up all your ideas on how you can make advancement. That's what he's saying. You think you know how to perform devotion, forget it, just surrender. That's all. And then, nobody did that. Prabhupada said, Krishna was too difficult. Okay. He's a hard guy to deal with. Makes it too difficult. Surrender. Give up all your own ideas. And Prabhupada said, he was wondering, it didn't work. Not too many people took me seriously. So, all right, I'll come back and do it again. All right, don't worry about surrender. Just chant Hare Krishna. Take some prasadam. So in other words, he made the same process of surrender easy through the chanting of the holy names. So to surrender to Krishna in this age means to become attached to chanting Krishna's holy name. There's a type of attachment that comes with chanting. We have to develop that attachment. So by hearing the benefits of the holy name, especially in this first verse, we can understand how much we can achieve simply by chanting the holy name. All the benefits are there. 7 major benefits, which include all the benefits that one can achieve, both materially and spiritual, in chanting of the holy name. Any questions on the first verse?